This audio recording is a resource of the Center for Bioethical Reform, CBR. This and other resources can be found at www.abortionno.org. This essay is by Greg Cunningham, CBR Executive Director, and is read by CBR staff, November 2011. Dear pro-life supporter, one of CBR's hardest-hitting genocide awareness project, GAP, signs, displays a large facial photo of a living 10-year-old boy with one eye badly bruised, depicted beside a facial photo of a dead 10-week-old aborted fetus, also with one eye badly bruised, but the dead child's other eye is horribly gouged out. The sign's caption asks how it can be rational for the government to fight child abuse after birth, while that same government facilitates it before birth. The sign offers visual evidence that there is little meaningful difference between abused-born children and abused pre-born children. Its message is aimed squarely at immoral libertarians, my least favorite political persuasion, who believe the government should ignore abortion. There may be a few libertarians who are so extreme that they would also believe the government should ignore the abuse of born children, but I don't know any of them. Of course, preborn children should be entitled to the same protections afforded born children, and their abuse warrants the same press coverage. The abuse of born children is very much in the news just now. WashingtonPost.com posted a video interview on November 12, 2011, headlined, "Obama, Penn State Case, Cause for Soul Searching." Commenting on the alleged cover-up of a child sex abuse scandal at my undergraduate alma mater, the president admonished the nation that, quote, "our first priority is protecting our kids," end quote. Without a trace of ironic awareness, the president, who repeatedly opposed legislation mandating emergency medical care for full-term babies who accidentally survived botched abortions, added that, quote, "each of us has to take it upon ourselves to make sure our kids have the protection they need," end quote. Unless they have been targeted for abortion, Mr. Obama's response to the abuse of children, born and preborn, has been jarringly incoherent. On November 29, 2011, NPR.org posted an appalling story headlined, "Report says Syrian forces have killed 256 children." The National Public Radio article reported that, quote, "an independent commission has released a blistering human rights report that says Syria's security forces have carried out widespread abuses against protesters, including murder and torture." It adds that panel chairman Paulo Pinheiro of Brazil said excessive force was used against unarmed protesters and even children in several cities. He said the report concluded that by early November, at least 256 children had been killed by government forces since the uprising began in March. Worst of all, quote, "a Syrian soldier who defected from the army said he saw a 2-year-old girl shot by a member of Syria's security force who said he didn't want her to grow up to be a demonstrator. There were accounts of boys being raped, one in front of his father." Yet FoxNews.com carried a related story on November 23, 2011, headlined, "U.S. accused of turning blind eye as Syria elected to UN Human Rights Committee." Fox said, quote, "the Obama administration seems to have put itself in the firing line over its handling of the crisis in Syria by not stopping the Mideast country from being elected to a UNESCO committee that details the deals with human rights." Syria will now use this committee position to cover up its own child abuse. And Mr. Obama is condemning Penn State for, quote, "turning a blind eye toward child abuse." Wikipedia.com says the function of this human rights committee is to, quote, "allow persons within their jurisdiction to submit complaints to the committee requesting a determination whether provisions of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights have been violated." But the Syrian government is killing thousands of people whose only offense is that they are complaining. It would seem that the presidential administration in Washington is covering up far more child abuse than the university administration at Penn State. But it gets even more sickening. In a column titled "Shredding Kathleen Sebelius, Michelle Malkin, October 28, 2011, criticized Mr. Obama's health secretary for abetting Planned Parenthood's cover-up of child rape when she was governor of Kansas. quote, if a private health insurer had engaged in the kind of criminal obstruction that Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius has been tied to in her home state of Kansas, it would be a federal case. Instead, it's a non-story in the Washington Press. Nothing to see here. Move along. In support of her cover-up accusations, Ms. Melkin adds that, quote, as governor of Kansas, Sebelius fought transparency motions in the criminal proceedings tooth and nail for years. Prosecutors allege a long-running, heinous cover-up to manufacture false records of patients who had late-term abortions, and to whitewash Planned Parenthood's systemic failures to report child rape. The columnist also notes that, quote, a district judge in the Sunflower State suspended court proceedings in a high-profile criminal case against the abortion racketeers of Planned Parenthood. World Magazine, a Christian news publication, reported on new bombshell court filings showing that Kansas health officials, quote, shredded documents related to felony charges the abortion giant faces. World Magazine reported, quote, the health department failed to disclose that facts for 6 years until forced to do so in the current felony case over whether it manufactured client records. The audacity of this cover-up was breathtaking. The abortionists rightly believed that they could act with impunity because they own most of the state's politicians, prosecutors, and press. World Magazine also published a November 19, 2011 story headlined Into the Shredder, which reported that, quote, some Kansas pro-lifers believe that the agency under Sebelius deliberately destroyed evidence that Planned Parenthood, one of the former governor's staunchest political allies, was failing to report child rape. Ms. Malkin adds that, quote, former GOP State Attorney General Phil Klein's investigation turned up massive discrepancies in reported child rape statistics compared to Planned Parenthood and the late-term abortionist George Tiller's bogus claims. Planned Parenthood of Overland Park and Tiller together performed abortions on 166 girls, age 14 and under, and only reported one to each authorities. So, 164 cases of underage rape or statutory rape went unreported and were not investigated to authorities. Ms. Malkin also says that, quote, a Kansas district judge found probable cause of criminality in the abortion provider's records. Another district judge found probable cause to believe Planned Parenthood committed 107 criminal acts. Sebelius's response? She launched a vengeful witch hunt against Klein. The state ethics board accused him of lying. The left-wing state Supreme Court Sebelius appointed stymied Klein's subpoenas and appeals. But Klein was cleared of all ethics violations. The state's attorney disciplinary board had, quote, suppressed an investigative report concluding there was no basis for ethics complaints. But these thugs are relentless. On November 9, 2011, World Magazine published a story headlined, Shredded Again. The subheadline read, for a second time, key evidence in a Kansas criminal case against Planned Parenthood was destroyed. These are the same kinds of Planned Parenthood child rape cover-ups which our associate Lila Rose has documented repeatedly with undercover video exposés. World also notes that, quote, former Kansas Attorney General Steve Six, a Democrat appointed by then-Governor Kathleen Sebelius, had destroyed copies of those records in April 2009. Not surprisingly, quote, a representative from the firm where Six now practices law said he was not available for comment. The aforementioned Fox story documenting Mr. Obama's facilitation, a serious effort to cover up its complicity in child abuse, also reports that, quote, the U.S. mission to UNESCO forwarded Fox News' request for a comment to the Bureau of International Organization Affairs at the Obama State Department as to why the U.S. went along with Syria's selection to the Human Rights Enforcement Panel, given Syria's ongoing human rights violations. The IO spokesman told Fox News that he, like Mr. Six of Planned Parenthood infamy, would not have any of the record comment. Of course they won't comment. On November 22, 2011, the New York Times ran a remarkably biased story, even by NYT standards, which attempted to minimize Planned Parenthood's culpability in this child abuse cover-up. Headlined, quote, Kansas abortion prosecution loses some steam, but fire is still hot, The article explained that, quote, the investigation started in 2003, initially centered on explosive allegations that abortion providers were not reporting all cases of child rape. But the story's spin was that the principles in this dispute are merely proxies for the politicized abortion wars, and that Planned Parenthood is being unfairly persecuted. The writer then reports with ill-concealed glee that, quote, Steve Howe, the Johnson County prosecutor, discovered that the records that were to be used as evidence had been destroyed years earlier, the originals by the Department of Health and Environment, and the only authenticated set of copies by the Attorney General's office. The punchline? As a result, Mr. Howe told a judge this month that there were no longer enough admissible evidence to proceed with 49 charges, including 23 felonies. Heads rightly rolled for the child abuse cover-up at Penn State, but at Planned Parenthood, the perps will all walk. Planned Parenthood was quoted trying to spin the outcome, not as a criminal justice matter involving allegations that abortion providers are killing viable babies and refusing to report child rape, but as a political victory in a purely political battle. Peter B. Brownlee, president and chief executive of the local Planned Parenthood affiliate, praised the dismissal of the most serious charges and said the organization would prevail on the remaining ones. Quote, there's no question that political opponents of Planned Parenthood and abortion would have been emboldened by conviction, particularly on a felony charge, he said. Back in the Nittany Valley, NewYorkTimes.com, November 10, 2011, reported a story headlined, Penn State Students Clash with Police in Unrest After Announcement. The article said, quote, after top Penn State officials announced that they had fired head football coach Joe Paterno on Wednesday night, thousands of students stormed the downtown area to display their anger and frustration, chanting the former coach's name, tearing down light poles, and overturning a television news van parked along College Avenue. It adds that the students, quote, also threw rocks and fireworks at the police. Attacking the press for reporting a child abuse cover-up is blaming the messenger for delivering a humiliating message. We know just how it feels to bear the brunt of this sort of student anger and frustration. When we show students the abortions the press is covering up, we have been shoved, punched, spat upon, hit by thrown objects and substances, and even had a car rammed into our sign display. We are so dependent on police protection to keep dissident students at bay that our displays have been torn down when negligent officers abandoned their posts. We have gone to Penn State repeatedly, and every time we encounter thousands of students who want to cover up the horror of abortion. Thousands more, perhaps, some of the same students, also seem eager to cover up Penn State's cover-up of born child abuse. Covering up indicting evidence was also the storyline in an abortion article posted at the Austin, Texas website, statesman.com, August 30, 2011. The story was headlined, quote, Judge Strikes Down Key Provisions of Sonogram Law. The stricken provisions would, quote, make the sonogram image of the fetus available for viewing by a woman seeking an abortion, describe what the sonogram reveals, including the size of the fetus and the presence of internal organs, and make available audio of the heartbeat, if audible. Susan Hayes, a Dallas lawyer associated with the Center for Reproductive Rights, said, quote, I always feel good going into any court with a strong position, and this act is so radical it puts us in a strong position. She doesn't think killing living babies is radical, but letting their mothers see them before they are killed is extreme. The article also reported that, quote, sonograms are a typical part of pre-abortion procedures, but because doctors will not be compelled to explain sonogram details, the amount of time needed to complete the procedure will be less painful for patients, Hayes said. But the pain of patients is not her real fear. The February 15th through 28th, 1986 issue of OB Gynecology News reported that, quote, sonography can make induced abortion safer, but care must be taken so that its psychological impact is not negative. Dr. Sally Faith Dorfman said at the annual meeting of the American Public Health Association. Also, quote, seeing a blown-up, moving image of the embryo she is carrying can be distressing to a woman who is about to undergo an abortion, Dr. Dorfman noted. She emphasized that the screen should be turned away from the patient. Dr. Dorfman added that, quote, staff members also may be affected by sonographic images and may need opportunities for venting their feelings and reconfirming their priorities. In other words, covering up the evidence that the baby really is a baby makes it easier to pretend that it isn't. Pictures make it much more difficult to cover up inconvenient truth. On November 7, 2011, ABCNews.com reported a story headlined, quote, "Judge blocks graphic images on cigarette packages." The court ruled that, quote, "it is abundantly clear from viewing these images that the emotional response they were crafted to induce is calculated to provoke the viewer to quit or never to start smoking, an objective wholly apart from disseminating purely factual and uncontroversial information." But the most important facts related to smoking's health consequences are so disturbing that words fail us in trying to describe them. Even photos can only partially suffice to warn of the ugly, agonizing death routinely caused by tobacco-related diseases. Any attempt to communicate that portion of the truth, which only photos can convey, is always going to create controversy among those who want to suppress that truth. The inadequacy of mere words as effective warnings is evident in the article's revelation that, quote, "the cigarette makers say their products have had written Surgeon General warnings for more than 45 years, but that they never filed a legal charge against them until these images were approved." The tobacco industry now feels threatened precisely because pictures tell the previously untold part of the story, the indicting part which words alone could never convey. The unspeakable truth about abortion is exactly what you helped CBR communicate visually this year, on the internet and on our truck signs and static display signs and aerial billboards. That is the truth America must see to believe that abortion is evil enough to outlaw. It is the truth which Northland Family Planning Centers is trying to cover up by suing us. Their lawsuit proves 2011 was the most successful year of our entire ministry. That is because CBR quickly invests our funds in effective projects instead of building up the kinds of large cash reserves which would give us financial security as an organization. But that makes us far more dependent on God and the supporters through whom He makes it possible for us to serve Him. Lord bless Greg Cunningham, Executive Director. P.S. A 19-year-old male student at George Mason University sent us an angry message on November 2, 2011. He described his efforts to force the removal of our Genocide Awareness Project from his campus. He said, "Scare tactics don't persuade people who have a brain. This is a right-wing propaganda stunt that shouldn't be anywhere near a college campus where higher learning takes place." He knew he couldn't win a debate against an abortion photo, so he tried to cover up the evidence. He said he filed a complaint to bar us from his campus. Indiana University tried that, and we beat them in court. Bring it on. This concludes the recording of Greg Cunningham's letter for November 2011. For more information on this and other topics, go to www.abortionno.org.